not a problem. I may need to be a little more still, but that's okay. All right. Was that worth it? Yes? All right. Anybody not get an award this morning? Everybody wins? Okay, all right, good. Today we start a brand new series, or a brand new theme. We can call it a series or just a theme, but over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about this thing called growth. Because if we look around, there's growth all around us, especially this time of year, right? Plants are growing. If you have a garden, you see those tomatoes growing, and you see the squirrels enjoying them, the fruit of your labor, and we see people growing. We had graduations, and growth is a good thing, because growth brings joy to our lives. It shows us that we're going somewhere, and it gives us deeper meaning. Now, we're struggling a little bit with the title of the series. So I want to ask you for your help. How should we title it? Growing to life, growing more alive, fruition, transformation, becoming are some of the ideas that have come forward, but we haven't settled on one. So after today, if you have an idea for the title, let me know. Bruce suggested that we should title the series The Fatted Calf. I think that's one way of growing. And as soon as I came in, Charles said that he could bring me some stilts. So that's another way of growing. But I think we're talking about something deeper and more profound than that as well. A few weeks ago, I got a text message from one of you guys, actually, who was reflecting and thanking us as a whole, thanking RGF for the spiritual growth that this church has meant in their life. And that message filled my heart with joy, because isn't that why we come here, to grow? And we're called Redeeming Grace, and that's the beautiful thing about grace, that grace leads us to growth, to change, to become more like Him who made us. And the beautiful thing about growth is that with growth, the older we get, we have an opportunity to be more alive. And in a strange way, the older we get to even feel younger. This past week, our country has celebrated another year of independence, another birthday, and we see growth all around us. Last Sabbath, I was in Woodbridge, Virginia. Those pictures were taken exactly 10 years ago. Some of us have grown skinnier, too. You can see that, right? 10 years ago, in that church, we started a bilingual worship service. It was a Spanish church, but there was a longing to also reach some of the new generation, some of the kids that only spoke English as a native language, and we started a brand new service, English bilingual service there 10 years ago. And I was just a little bit more than a teenager, Hope, who's no longer a teenager. I really didn't have a clue of what I was doing, and last Saturday, I was given the opportunity to go back and celebrate a 10th year anniversary. And it was a very moving experience. Many of the kids in those pictures are now grown adults, parents. Cindy and I were just boyfriend and girlfriend when that picture was taken. And the strange thing is that even though 10 years have passed and I'm 10 years younger, in many ways, I feel that, 10 years older, sorry. In many ways, I feel like I am so much younger in many ways than I was back then. I have grown, and yet I have expanded my way of thinking in so many ways. And I feel so alive, even 10 years after, you know, those pictures were taken. And that brings joy to my life. So today and over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this thing called growth. It's going to be very practical and also very spiritual, deeply spiritual and very practical, because it is in our growth that we find joy. Each year that goes by, we can become even younger at heart. So today I want us to start with a story that's actually extremely well known, a story that we have probably heard many, many times, and an idea, concept, a word that for many of us, it may even bring strange feelings and ideas, because it's an expression and it's a word that's been used time and time again, and we tend to brush it off because it's so familiar, and yet at the same time it's so powerful. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 3. Book of John chapter 3. I will put it on the screen, but I do I do invite you to follow along in your electronic or your paper Bible, so you can make notes, you can jot things down as we go along, or just read. John chapter 3. But before we start, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is good to be here. Maybe there's someone here that's come for the very first time. Some of us have been coming here for years on end. And yet all of us receive this invitation to grow, to become more alive each and every day. So as we open your word and we go into the story that it's so well known, I pray that you will help us find ourselves in this story and help us to leave to this place today ready to grow and live up to the full potential for which we were created as we have encountered you. Some of us come with heavy hearts. Some of us come very relaxed. Some of us come back from great celebrations. Some of us have experienced different things this week. Yet all of us need to encounter you today. So may your spirit fill this place. May he speak in spite of me to each of our hearts. And may we leave today having heard that which we needed to hear from you. So this is my humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's start. John chapter 3, verse 1. I'll put it on the screen as well. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. A few things just so we can understand the story a little better. Nicodemus. This is not a very Jewish name. In fact, it's a Greek name. And we don't know all that much about Nicodemus, but we actually do know a fair amount. Richard Beckham is one of the few scholars who took a lot of time to study the background in the story of the character of Nicodemus. It turns out that Nicodemus was not a very common name in ancient scriptures. There's actually four historical Nicodemuses identified, and they were all from the family of Gurion. And they were some form of like a superman type of personality. Why? Because back then, things were a little different than they are now. And this Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish council, and his name actually meant conqueror of people. And this Gurion family was a very wealthy family. They had military background, military conquest, and they were one of the few successful Jewish war families that actually conquered the territory and brought relief and benefit to the Jewish nation. They were loved, they were respected, and in every area of life they had influence. They had religious influence, they had political influence, and they had also very real economic and warlike influence on the people. Nicodemus's name meant Lord of the people. And now this man Nicodemus comes, verse 2 says, and he came at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are the teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. When did Nicodemus come to Jesus? When? It's not that hard. At night? What is that? Yeah, this is pretty basic. At night? Yes? What does John mean when he says that Nicodemus came at night? Say what? Say what? He didn't want to be seen, okay? Now, the interesting thing about how John writes his story of Jesus' his gospel is that every time something bad happens, anytime there's something obscure going on, it's always at night. So did John mean that he came at nighttime and the hours of night? Does he mean that Nicodemus came in a dark night in his life? Does it mean that Nicodemus came on obscurity not to be seen? Maybe the answer is yes. Maybe it's yes. Maybe there's a lot more that John is trying to tell us. But here's another question, and this one you may have to think a little bit more. Why did Nicodemus come to see Jesus? What did he want? What was his agenda? What was his agenda? What was his agenda? He wanted to know that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, but he kind of says, like, we know that you are from God, right? He wanted to know if Jesus was the Messiah. Maybe, yes. We really don't know exactly what his agenda was. And it's very interesting that Nicodemus comes and tells Jesus, we. No, who is we? Who is it? The other rulers? So the first verse said there was maybe the Pharisees or the ruling council. Later we learned that he was also a member of the Sanhedrin, which was this interesting organization that was kind of like the Senate, the Congress, and the Vatican all put together, this mega influential organization that had all aspects of influence over people in every aspect of life, from economics to religion to politics. Is that who he's representing? Or maybe his family, the Gurion family? But he's hiding behind the systems and these things that somehow gave him an ability to pass judgment. He comes to Jesus and he says, we know. Sometimes the easiest place to hide from the own growth that we need to be is within the systems that we're a part of. Sometimes the best place to hide from the growth that we need is in religion itself, is in church. We know, Jesus, we have a judgment to pass upon who you are. Jesus, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. He even calls him a rabbi, a title that Jesus did not necessarily deserve because Jesus didn't have necessarily the formal education that would make him a rabbi. Some people argue that Nicodemus came to reprimand Jesus. Jesus, we have this establishment, the systems that they're working, and you're attempting against everything that we're doing, that his intention was to tell Jesus to stop it. And other people like David also suggest that maybe he came with curiosity because he wanted to know who Jesus really was. And there was a question in his heart, Jesus, are you this Messiah? John doesn't spell it all out for us, but he just tells us Nicodemus came and he met with Jesus. And he hid behind this authority that he had. We know. And he came to see Jesus. We see something. There are signs that you are doing that seem to tell us that you are from God. What did Nicodemus want? I'm not entirely sure. But he came and he met with Jesus. And now Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, and some translations say born again, others say unless you're born from above, and other translations say unless you're born anew. Which one is it? Maybe the answer is yes. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Which is like the 1,000th time Jesus answers Z to question A. Which is the 1,000th time that Jesus seems to reply something that has absolutely nothing to do with what Nicodemus is asking. And yet at the same time, it may have everything to do with what Nicodemus is asking. Because Jesus says, you want to see? These signs mean something to you? Is there something you really want to see, Nicodemus? If you want to see, you cannot see without rebirth, without being born again. And many of us, as soon as we hear that, we get all this jittery feeling because we heard that expression, have you been born again, like a million times? And it's kind of lost its meaning to us, at least to me in many ways. For a long time, that phrase meant very little. But Jesus says, you want to see? You cannot see without being born again, without being born from above, without being born anew. To which Nicodemus replies, well, Jesus, how can someone be born again once they're old? Nicodemus said, surely they cannot enter a second time into a mother's womb to be born. Now, Nicodemus actually, we're pretty sure he knew what Jesus was talking about. Each time people from other cultures would come into Judaism, they would practice these rituals, even baptism. John the Baptist had been baptizing, and there were baptisms even before John the Baptist. And there was this idea of being born. But somehow, in this moment, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, surely, you don't mean that somebody came born. Mr. Obvious, how can this be? Our friend Nick, after Jesus paints this beautiful imagery of what our life is like.
Just go, well, Jesus, how can one be born again? That's kind of weird, isn't it?
And yet, isn't that many times our response when we are faced with the questions of those things that we really need in our lives to move forward? Sometimes we rather go for the obvious, the easy, the duck questions. And Jesus answers, well, fine. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And then Jesus changes gears a little bit. He says, for the wind, it blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And to some of us, that wind blows to Alaska, it seems, right, Maria? So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And to this, our friend Nick runs out of silly questions. And somehow in this beautiful imagery that Jesus tells him about being born of water and spirit and having a life that you're moved and taken to places, Nicodemus' only question is, how can this be? How can this be? And Jesus answers, you're Israel's teacher and you don't know? Hey, Nicodemus, I thought you were a pretty big deal. Hey, Nicodemus, you're the man with the answers, aren't you? You have the doctorate degree, you have the influence, you have the money, you have conquest people before, you're the Lord and ruler over the people. Nicodemus, it seems like you're not that bright after all. By the way, sometimes we're intimidated, aren't we, by people who seem to have it all figured out when we haven't. Sometimes we encounter people that seem to have the right answers and we don't. And here's the beauty of the story. Anyone can see. Never be intimidated by someone who seems to have more answers than you do. Because somehow, seeing, it's available to everyone. And now Nicodemus has this, how can this be? And Jesus says, you're Israel's teachers and you don't understand these things? I tell you the solemn truth. We speak of what we know. And we witness to what we have, what? Seen. But still, you do not accept our witness. Nicodemus, you come representing all the systems. We know, Nicodemus said. And Jesus says now, we know. We speak of what we know. And we witness to what we have seen. Because seeing sometimes is even so much more powerful than believing. Because once you see something, you can't unsee it. And Nicodemus, our friend Nick, had come at night and he couldn't see. But Jesus said, you want to see? You have to be born again. Because it is through being born again that we become the kind of people who see, who are each day more alive, who are growing and expanding. And yet Nicodemus could not understand, how could this be? And Jesus says, you have to be born again. So let's take this a little bit apart. Because maybe if we want to understand this idea of being born again, maybe it's a good idea to start at birth. I hear myself on the speakers, and that's rather strange. All right. Can anybody here remember the day you were born? Noah, you remember the day you were born? Yes? Was it cold? Was it warm? It was warm, really. After or before the birth? It's a little tricky, right? How many people here can remember the day they were born? Not the day that somebody was born from you. That we can remember quite clearly, but the day you were born. What was the weather like? Was it raining? Was it dry? I have $100 for somebody who can remember the day they were born. Anybody can remember the day they were born? I have a paper here. It's a pretty important paper, in fact. It's a birth certificate. Our current president was quite obsessed with obtaining one of these for one of our former presidents. I don't know if he ever found it, but here's a birth certificate. What does this paper say? First of all, like I said, certificate of life birth. That's a good start. Not everybody gets that privilege. Yes, it says the date, the weight, time of birth, 11:21 a.m., and yes, the parents' name, the country where their parents were born, because that seems to be important too, the date. So what does this mark? The start? The start of what? The start of life? So did life start on that day? There's actually a lot of discussion on ethics on this problem, which is a little sticky, but I think the consensus is that at least life, we could happily accept it started a little bit before that, right? Because daddy gave mommy a little seed, and that seed became 2, and then it became 4, and then 8, and then 16, and 32, and 64, and 128, and a couple billion. This day, this paper says that on May 12, 2016, at 11:21 a.m., Eliana Belen, my youngest little daughter, was born. And yet somehow, there were all these things that were happening to her before that day, and in many ways, there was life going on even before 11:21 that morning. Because at 11:20, most doctors would tell you that she could hear noises. Most doctors would tell you that they could see shading and lights going on. Most doctors will even tell you, most researchers will tell you that she could even feel pressure. She could even sense mood changes, something that I'm still learning to sense and achieve mastery over. Some say that she could even begin to taste what her mother was eating through the chemistry in the bloodstream and the blood supplies that she had. She could feel. She could push. She could stretch. She could kick. She could punch. And up to that point, her world was this, 20, 30 inch in diameter sphere full of liquid. We could call it water. And in there, she could feel and she could stretch and she was warm and she could eat and she could hear and she could see certain things. But one day, on May 12th, 2016, at 11:21 a.m., she went from one way of living to a whole new way of living, right? Because all of a sudden, she could not only hear muffled noises, now she could hear sounds. And all of a sudden, she could not just see different shades of, I'm guessing, reddish, orange, yellowish, whatever it looks like from the inside and light and all that stuff. Now she could see faces, trees, people, light, sun, birds, animals. Now at one point, she could only feel this liquid that would engulf her body. She could only feel water. But now she could feel air flowing through her face. She went from one mode of living to a whole new mode of being alive. And it was huge. And it was wonderful. And it was great. And then she cried and cried and cried. Think of a time in your life where you have experienced growth. Can you think of a time where you can think back and, wow, I really grown during that period of time? How was it? Hope, there's a story there, but we won't ask you. It's okay. Have you grown, Hope? Yes, sort of. Mom thinks you have grown. Yes. See, chances are there were baby steps to our growth, and then there were these giant leaps to our growth. There were, Rob likes to say, there were increments, and then there were explosions in our growth. One day we were living one way, and another day we're living in a whole new way. There is intention. There is planning. There is steps that we take. There's intentionality. And then there's this whole other thing that's a complete mystery. There is water, and there is spirit. There is birth. There is moving from one mode of being alive to a whole new other way of being alive. Because rebirth, many times, is a lot more than just change. Rebirth is a lot more than just maybe doing your hair a little differently. And I saw a few of you today did a complete new look, and it looks awesome. It looks great. And sometimes we need those little changes, and we need to take little steps, but sometimes rebirth is about starting a whole new way of living. And sometimes for us to be able to experience rebirth, an old way of living has to end. Our son Christian didn't want to be born. He stayed in the oven a whole 3 extra weeks. He cost me several thousand dollars worth of tax loss because I was hoping he would be born the year before in December so I could claim him as a dependent and get a tax break. He was born well into January, so I didn't get to claim him that year. In fact, when he was born, he turned himself around and he was grabbing it with 2 hands and both of his feet, not wanting to get out. So they had to rip him in the open and take him out during a C-section procedure, which is not as graphic as what I just described, but still pretty intense if you're there. Because it seems like something about him didn't want to be born. Many times, we are the primary factor of what gets in the way of our own rebirth. Because sometimes, in order to experience life in a whole new way, there's another way of doing life that has to end. And we cling to what is comfortable, we cling to what we know, we cling to what we're settled to, because that's safe. That's what we're used to. And yet, in doing that, we get in the way of our own rebirth. And this is why now we're going to the first step, and we're going to try to start landing this. Rebirth, growth, becoming more alive, it takes a huge amount of honesty. And it takes us coming to a place where we can say, this isn't working. This is not working. This job, it's not working. The hours that I need to be away from what really matters, it's not working. The pressures and the way that I deal with these pressures, it's not working. The fact that I cannot have the time that I need to take care of those whom I love, this is not working. This marriage, this relationship, it's not working. The feelings, the pressures, it's not working. My health, it's not working. These habits or these patterns that I'm in, it's not working. These addictions or whatever it is, unless we come to a place where we can be honest with ourselves and say, this isn't working. The systems that we have attached ourselves to, in the case of Nicodemus, all the systems and all the things that we could hide behind, we know this isn't working. Unless we can come to a place where we can say this isn't working, we cannot experience rebirth. And yet, it is when we come to the end of ourselves. It is when we're willing to acknowledge that there's something that is probably not working, that we open ourselves up to growth. And we can do the next prayer, which is, show me something new. Father, show me something new. What's up, baby Eli? Show me something new. Father, as you're going on your way to work and you're going to face those pressures and you're going to face all these things, you just pray in the car. Show me something new. Sometimes you do it with anger. Sometimes you do it with frustration. Sometimes you just bear your heart open. You say, show me something new. I want to see something new. Show me something new in my marriage. Show me something new in my school. Show me something new in my life. Show me something new in my health. I have tried. Show me something new. Show me a new way to be alive. Show me someone in need. Show me my need. And this is what happens. As you begin to pray this prayer, show me something new. You take a little step. You take a little step. Father, show me something new. What can I do today? Show me one new thing. Maybe spend a little bit more time with you. Maybe open up my heart and begin acknowledging these areas are not working. Maybe just forgive a little more. Maybe do something for someone else who is in a greater need than I am. Maybe let go of something. Maybe show a little Show me, Father, something new. Maybe have a different attitude at work. Maybe start looking at a new career, something that I have been afraid of and something that has been overwhelming me. Father, show me something new. And then you simply take a baby step in that direction. Just one little step. And then you pray again. Father, show me something new. And you take another step. And you take another little step. And as you take these little baby steps, you will find out that you are taking giant leaps forward. And as these little increments take hold in your life, you will find that there's a whole explosion going forward in your life. As you make these little movements, there's an explosion of life birthing within our hearts. And we become born again. Is there anyone who needs rebirth today? Maybe there are areas in our lives that we realized that they're not working. Maybe it's extremely obvious that it's not working. Maybe it's a mess. Or maybe it's very subtle. Most people would look at us and they would think that we got it all figured out, just like our friend Nick. They would see that we got the good job and we got all these things, but deep inside, each year that goes by, we're not feeling more alive and younger. We're feeling just more jaded. Jesus said, you want to see something new? You have to be born again. You can have rebirth today. But first you have to pray. This is not working. Then you have to pray, I want to see something new. And then you take a step. Jesus said something very interesting there. He said, flesh gives birth to flesh. And spirit gives birth to. You know, many people for the longest time, even the Greeks kind of started this, had this idea that the flesh stuff was really bad. And we Christians sometimes teach that, and it's kind of lame because God created both things. And that the spirit is good, but that's not what Jesus is saying. I hear myself like a second after I speak, it's kind of strange, but anyways. But one of the things that I observe is that the world that we created around us, it's become so invasive, so intoxicating. There was a time where we had a home, and a home was just a home. Now they're smart homes. Now our homes watch us. Now our homes have speakers, and they listen to us. There was a time where a watch was a watch. Now my watch knows my heart rate. It knows when I'm crawling and running and jumping and playing sports. And this whole world that we created around us, it's become so intense, so intoxicating, so intrusive that sometimes it takes all of our strength and energy and affection and time and effort. And many of us experience great worth in this world that we created, in this world, material world, we could say. And Jesus reminds us, that's not necessarily bad. But flesh can only give life to flesh. These material things will only end up in material things. But spirit gives life to spirit. And unless we're taking the steps in that direction as well, because many of us, since we're very little, we've been trained to grow in this world around us. We get an education, we get a job, we save money. Some of us try to. We build a career, we buy a house, we have our savings, and we get taught from very little how to take care of this external world we create. And many of us are never taught how to grow within. And Jesus is saying, do you want to experience a new kind of life? Remember that this is also important, that this is most important. You want to be born again. You take the steps. And one of the things that I have observed of people who are becoming more and more alive each day, just like you, baby Eli, people who are able to experience this new birth time and time again, this type of people generally hold things loosely because they're ready to go wherever the Spirit sends them. They don't get overly attached to things because they're ready to take the steps and leaps, the increments and explosions that takes them to new life. Because as you take the steps, you're ready to take the leaps. As you experience the increments, you begin to experience the explosions. So is anyone here today needing rebirth? Is anyone here today desiring to see something new in their lives? Is there anyone here today that realizes that there is something in our lives that has to go away so a new chapter can begin? Just say that prayer. This isn't working. Show me something new and take a step. Because many years ago, Jesus took a step, a giant leap. He left his home and he came to this world. And he took many steps here with us. He walked with us. And he took a giant leap to come and spend his life here with us. He taught us how to care for others, how to live, how to live. And then he was crucified. But then he leaped out of that grave. And life exploded. And that life is ours too. As I look at my life, I realize that I too have been born again and again. When I was very young, my dad used to preach, give sermons. And in one of those sermons, I was really moved. I was probably, I believe, 11 or so. And he made an invitation. And I went forward because I wanted to give my heart to Jesus and experience this kind of new life in him. A few years later, I was baptized in Camp Blue Ridge, somewhere where we'll go in just a few months. We'll start talking about it. It was freezing cold. We've experienced that many times with RGF as well in October, getting baptized in a lake at 6,000 feet elevation, quite cold and crisp, a whole new way of being born again, believe me. And I was born again. And then I went to college. And my way of thinking changed. And yet somehow there I felt Jesus calling me to ministry. And somehow I was yet born again. And then I was married. And I had to now just not be me, my independent self, but I had to become one with someone else. And in some ways, I was then once again born again. And then I experienced depression and frustration and anger when I was sent somewhere where I didn't want to go and I wasn't given another opportunity. And I said, God, this isn't working. Show me something new. And there in Bering Springs, Michigan, in Andrews, I experienced patience. And this experience of waiting for something beautiful. And my whole way of thinking changed, and all that impetus I had, all that impatient attitude went away. And in many ways, I was born again. And then I came to you guys here at RGF. And I came in wearing a suit. One of the days I'm going to come in shorts. In some ways, I was once again born again. Because when Jesus makes this invitation to us, he says you can be born of water and spirit. You can take steps and leaps. You can be born again. And you take little steps and giant leaps, and you will see something new. Because Jesus invites you to be born again and again and again and again and again and again. And each time you become freer, more full of life, and more full of joy. And the older we get, the younger we can be at heart and more full of life. So my question for you today is there anyone who needs to be born again? Here's my invitation. I'm not going to make an appeal. But over the last several weeks, our elder team has been praying for you guys, for each and every one of you. I have a list of the names of the people that you have been willing to give us. And for each of you each week, I have taken time to pray. Because as we grow, as I grow, as Bruce grows, we all grow. And as we grow, we will be filled with life and joy in ways that we've never experienced before. And later in the month, in the weeks to come, we will talk about growing together, growing from our strengths, growing from our identity, growing for how we were designed, our personalities. We will talk about all sorts of things. But I want to pray for your growth. So if there's an area in your life where you say this isn't working and you want somebody to pray for, just send a text message. Just send GROW to 757-574-0879. Just send the word GROW. And I will be praying for you specifically for what you need. If there's an area in your life where you want to see something, you say, Father, I am so tired of this way of living or these things. I want to see something new. Just send a text message if you want to go on this journey together. And I will personally be praying for you. And I will give you a call or send you a text message and say, hey, let's pray about this together. Because Jesus makes an invitation for us to be born again and again and again and again. If we're three, like maybe Eli, he's not even two. 16 months. If we're 16 months, like maybe Eli, or 20, like Hope, or anywhere in between, Jesus invites us to be born again and again and again and again.
If you could join us in this last song right here. I think it's important that every now and then, you know, we spend a lot of time in God's Word. Try to. It's important to remind ourselves on who God says we are. And if we could proclaim that today over each one of our own lives. So just join us in this final song and proclaim that in your life. Thank you.
Who am I that the highest King will call me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free.
Why did Nicodemus go to see Jesus? We really don't know. We just know that he did. And that same Nicodemus that went at night in the darkness of his heart, in the darkness of his questions, not even knowing why he went to see Jesus. At the end of Jesus' life, in the darkest hour this world had seen, in broad daylight, he went to claim his Savior's body. He was not afraid. He was not ashamed. He was not embarrassed. Because something happened in his life. He saw something new. He didn't need to hide behind all the systems anymore. And he was born again. We don't know how. We don't know the steps that he took. Maybe he had to quit watching certain things. We don't know what it was. But Nicodemus was born again. And that same experience is available for you and me today. And as we do that, we will experience growth and joy and meaning and purpose. Fear will not keep us down anymore, and we will move forward. However, there may be things we need to recognize that they're not working. There are things that we can see that are brand new. So I want to challenge you this week, each day when you go to work, say the prayer, Father, show me something new. Father, what's my first step? And I challenge you this week, take one step. Take one step. Maybe it's to go to work with a different attitude. Maybe it's to make a decision that you've been putting off. Maybe it's to forgive someone who you've been holding a grudge against. Maybe it's to try one more time to quit something that you've been trying to quit. I don't know. Just say, Father, show me something new. And take one step today. You don't have to do this alone. There's a text. We'll put the number back up after I pray. You can text in. We can pray together. We can take this step together. But you can experience rebirth, new life today. Father, you gave us a gift that is life. Each and every breath that we take is a gift. And not only that, but you also give us an opportunity to experience that gift anew every day. To live a type of life that is always expanding and growing. To have a type of character that is always changing into your likeness. That each day that passes, we can feel the joy of knowing that we're moving forward and not backwards. It takes a million little steps in this giant leaps. It takes little increments and huge explosions. But you give us an experience of growth and rebirth if we're willing to run that journey with you. It is intentional. We have to want it. And it's also deeply mysterious. Because when we were born, we did nothing. It had nothing to do with us. And yet it was entirely about us. And so it is with our rebirth. It's intentional and mysterious. It takes a million little steps and a few giant leaps, but it happens. And I am convinced that each and every person here today needs to experience that type of growth. I am convinced that each and every person here has an area in their lives where we have to say, this isn't working. Father, show me something. So, Father, as we leave this place today, give us the courage to pray that prayer each day this week on our way to work. Father, show me something new. Show me someone in need. Show me my need. On our way home, help us to pray each and every day as we're driving back home. Show me something new. As we go back home to those who we love. And as we do that, give us the strength to take those little steps and be ready for the giant leaps that are ahead. Help us to see the little increments and experience the huge explosions of how you're leading us to rebirth each and every day. So I thank you, Father, for this type of life, the type of life that you invite each and every one of us to walk into. May that be our lives, and may we be born again and again and again and again. In Jesus' name.